وَيَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ And they worship besides Allah مَا لَا يَنْفَعُهُمْ وَلَا يَضُرُّهُمْ That which does not benefit them, nor does it harm them. If they worship that object, it's not going to bring them any benefit. If they leave that object, it's not going to harm them at all. In the previous ayat, what do we learn? About the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That how qadir He is. That He is the one who has let the two different waters flow, but still they do not mix with one another, losing their identity. He is the one who has made human beings such that they're all related to one another somehow or the other. But still, look at people. What do? They worship besides Allah what does not benefit them, what does not harm them. وَكَانَ الْكَافِرُ عَلَىٰ رَبِّهِ ظَهِيرًا And the disbeliever is ever against his Lord and assistant. ظَهِير is who? One who supports. So, the disbeliever is an assistant to who against his Lord? The disbeliever is a helper to someone against his Lord, against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning when he disbelieves, he is helping someone against Allah. Who? Shaitan. Because what did Shaitan do? He refused to obey Allah. So when a person refuses to believe in Allah, refuses to obey Allah, he is supporting someone. Who is he supporting? Shaitan. وَكَانَ الْكَافِرُ عَلَىٰ رَبِّهِ ظَهِيرًا So everything in this universe belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything. And He is the one who has done everything for us. And it is our obligation that we must be grateful to Allah. We must show servitude to Allah. And whenever we disobey, whenever we turn away from obedience, who are we helping? Who are we supporting? Shaitan. If you notice earlier we learnt about وَجَاهِدْهُمْ بِهِ جِهَادًا كَبِيرًا One is to support, one is to assist the book of Allah. To spread the book of Allah. To be on the same path as the messenger. That whatever mission he came with, we continue with that. And the other is that a person is on the way of shaitan, helping the shaitan. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ And we have not sent you, O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, إِلَّا مُبَشِّرًا وَنَذِيرًا Except as one who brings good news, and also as one who brings warning. This is your prime responsibility. To deliver good news to people and also to warn people. The responsibility of the Prophet ﷺ was what? To deliver good news of Jannah, of reward, and to deliver warning of punishment, of hellfire. In Surah Al-Ma'idah, Ayah 67, we learn, يَا أَيُّهَا الرَّسُولُ بَلِّغْ مَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ مِنْ رَبِّكَ وَإِنْ لَمْ تَفْعَلْ فَمَا بَلَّغْتَ رِسَالَتَهُ وَاللَّهُ يَعْصِمُكَ مِنَ النَّاسِ The Prophet ﷺ was told to convey everything. بَلِّغْ مَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ مِنْ رَبِّكَ And everything includes good news as well as warning. It includes both things. When it comes to doing da'wah, what happens sometimes? We only choose flowery things. We only choose lovely things that people want to listen to. The sweet things. And maybe something that the other person will find bitter, we don't like to tell them. But both are necessary. Warning and good news, both are necessary. In Surah Al-Ahzab, Ayah 45, we learn, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّبِيُّ إِنَّا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ شَاهِدًا وَمُبَشِّرًا وَنَذِيرًا That, O Prophet ﷺ, indeed we have sent you as a witness and a bringer of good news and also a warner. قُلْ Say, مَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ أَجْرٍ I do not ask you for it any reward. Meaning, over conveying the message to you, over delivering the message of wahi to you, I do not expect any recompense from you. I do not want any money. I do not want that you should make me the king. I do not want that you should give me the most beautiful woman. No. I do not want any ajr from you. What does this show? What does this show? His sincerity, that he did not have a hidden agenda. When a person does da'wah, when a person is calling people to Allah, many times what happens? He feels that, oh, if the rich people believe, then they will give a lot of money. And if these people will believe, then we'll become very famous. But when a person is doing da'wah, he should not expect any material benefit. any material benefit from the other at all. Like for example, a person thinks if I call this person to the deen, they will start studying the Quran, they will become my close friend, they're very rich, they'll give me good gifts. No, this should not be the way. When a person wants guidance for the other, he does not expect anything in return. قُلْ مَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ أَجْرٍ إِلَّا except مَنْ شَاءَ أَنْ يَتَّخِذَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِ سَبِيلًا. Only that whoever wills might take to his Lord a way. Meaning this is the only thing that I want from you. That whoever wants, he should adopt a way to his Lord. Meaning he should adopt the straight path that I'm telling you about. This is the only thing I want from you. I don't want you to give me money. I don't want you to go and praise me. I don't want you to give this to me, give that to me. No, all I want from you is accept this message that I'm giving you. This is the desire of the da'i. This is what he wants to achieve when he's doing jihad and kabira. That he wants that people should أَنْ يَتَّخِذَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِ سَبِيلًا. That people should go, they should strive towards their Lord. Meaning they should strive to attain His pleasure. They should come closer to Allah. They should love Allah. They should fear Allah. They should want Jannah. This is the goal of the da'i. Because what happens when we're calling people to Allah, many times people begin to like you, people begin to talk to you, you become famous. People are calling you, they're talking about you. This should not be your goal. Your goal should be to connect people to their Lord. أَنْ يَتَّخِذَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِ سَبِيلًا. Okay, we'll listen to the recitation and then we'll continue.
وَهُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ مِنَ الْمَاءِ بَشَرًا فَجَعَلَهُ نَسَبًا وَصِهْرًا وَكَانَ رَبُّكَ قَدِيرًا وَيَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ مَا لَا يَنْفَعُهُمْ وَلَا يَضُرُّهُمْ وَكَانَ الْكَافِرُ عَلَى رَبِّهِ ظَهِيرًا وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا مُبَشِّرًا وَنَذِيرًا قُلْ مَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ أَجْرٍ إِلَّا مَنْ شَاءَ أَنْ يَتَّخِذَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِ سَبِيلًا
وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى الْحَيِّ الَّذِي لَا يَمُوتْ. And rely upon the ever-living who does not die. Because the responsibility is very great. What is the responsibility? To convey the message to people. مُبَشِّر وَنَذِيرَ. And not expect anything in return from people. Wanting hidayah for them. That's all that the da'i wants. So who should you rely upon? Who should you trust upon? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى الْحَيِّ, upon the ever-living, الَّذِي لَا يَمُوتُ, the one who does not die. Because if you trust upon your uncle to give you money, your uncle will die one day. If you trust upon your parents to counsel you, to advise you, to motivate you, what's going to happen? Eventually they will die. If you trust upon anyone, remember that they are temporary. Who should you trust upon? Who should you rely upon? Who should you fear? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when doing this work. Because if you think about it, you are doing this work for whose sake? Whose servant are you? Allah. Especially when a person is doing da'wah, he's not working for another person. Who is he working for? Allah. So he should remember that his boss is who? Allah. This is why he should fear him most. This is why his words should motivate him. What happens? We constantly need people to push us. People will come, they will advise us. People will come, they will tell us, do this, keep on doing this work. But the fact is that if the Quran does not push you, if the Quran does not motivate you, then if the words of a human being motivate you, that motivation will be temporary. Because once that person is gone, that motivation is gone. And if your motivation is the words of Allah, if it's the fear of Allah, then Allah is Al-Hayy Alladhi La Yamutu. Then even your work will be constant until your last breath. وَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِهِ. And when you're doing this work, don't forget to glorify Allah. Because remember, you are doing this work to come closer to Allah, to attain His pleasure. And in order to do that, you also have to do tasbih. وَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِهِ And وَكَفَى بِهِ بِذُنُوبِ عِبَادِهِ خَبِيرًا And sufficient is He to be with the sins of His servants acquainted. Many times what happens? When a person comes across other people, when he's trying to do da'wah, the sins of other people, they really disturb him. Isn't it? This person is doing that, this person is doing this. No matter how much I advise them, no matter how much I tell them, no matter how much I try to make them realize, they still do whatever they want. So at that time, remember that Allah knows about whatever sins people are doing. And He is sufficient. He will call them to account. Your responsibility is to convey. You should be concerned about conveying effectively. However, at the end of the day, it is sufficient that Allah knows about them and Allah will deal with them. Similarly, what happens when we're trying to teach someone? We want to investigate their personal affairs and see, oh, what kind of sins do they commit in privacy and what kind of crimes do they commit? Your job is not to go and investigate the crimes of people. Your job is to tell people, to advise them. And Allah knows about their sins and He will hold them accountable. We learn in Surah Al-Hadid, ayah number 3, هو الأول والآخر والظاهر والباطن وهو بكل شيء عليم. Allah is the first and the last, the ascendant and the intimate, and He is of all things knowing. So when He is the first and the last, who should you rely upon? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you rely upon Him, when you trust upon Him, then you'll be able to do something. الَّذِي خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ It is He who created the heavens and the earth. وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا فِي سِتَّةِ أَيَّامٍ And whatever that is between the heavens and the earth, and how long? فِي سِتَّةِ أَيَّامٍ In 6 days. And then, ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى عَلَى الْعَرْشِ And then He rose above His throne. الرَّحْمَانُ The most merciful. فَاسْأَلْ بِهِ خَبِيرًا So ask about Him, one who is well informed. Why is this mentioned over here all of a sudden? That Allah is the one who created the heavens and the earth in this much time. And then He rose above His throne. Why is this mentioned over here? To make us realize, who is it that we're working for? Allah, Ar-Rahman. And when He is so great, when He is so glorious, then when a person is working for His sake, when a person is trying to deliver His message to the people, then that is a very honorable work as well. Because many times we undermine this work. We don't give it much importance. We think if we're doing something else, it's much better. Because we look at it in worldly terms. We analyze it in worldly terms, in worldly benefits. But the fact is that if a person realizes, I'm working for Allah, the one who created the heavens and the earth, He owns them. What I'm doing is not something small. No. It's very great. It's very prestigious. It's a very noble task. Very noble work. Istawa ala al-arsh. The arsh. He is the one who is the owner of the arsh. So the work that we are doing, realize its significance. Realize its importance. Because many times people are doing this work and all of a sudden they see something of the dunya and they get so distracted by it. They leave the work of the deen for the smallest things of this dunya. So we must realize that this is the work of Allah and this is very, very great. فَاسْأَلْ بِهِ خَبِيرًا This is Ar-Rahman, the most merciful. فَاسْأَلْ بِهِ خَبِيرًا So ask about Him, someone who is khabir. Khabir over here describes who? A person, someone who is knowing, acquainted of who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now who do you ask about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Who can tell you about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Who is khabir of Allah? The Quran. If you want to learn about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where will you find? Where will you look? The Quran. Similarly, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who would he ask? Jibreel alayhi salam. So fas'al bihi khabira. Why is this mentioned over here? That if you wish to call people to Allah, if you want that people should take away to their Lord, then what do you need to do before that? You need to know who Allah is. you need to have the love of Allah in your heart as well. You need to have the realization of the greatness of Allah in your heart as well. Because if you don't know, then how can you tell other people? If you don't feel, then how can you make others feel? If you don't have that love and fear, then how can you transfer it in the hearts of other people? So this is something very, very important, that a person must know about Allah. He must have a strong relationship with Allah Himself when he's doing the work of the deen. Because only then will the spirit be passed on. وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ And when it is said to them, to who? To the mushrikeen of Makkah, that أُسْجُدُوا لِلرَّحْمَانِ Prostrate to the Most Merciful. The mushrikeen of Makkah, when they were told to do sajda to Ar-Rahman, قَالُوا They say, وَمَا الرَّحْمَانِ And who is Ar-Rahman? What is Ar-Rahman? The mushrikeen of Makkah, they knew the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Ismul Jalala, Allah. But they were not aware of the name Ar-Rahman. And if you notice, in many Makki surahs, the name of Allah Ar-Rahman is mentioned again and again, repeatedly. Surah Maryam, right? So many times Ar-Rahman came. In this surah as well, again and again Ar-Rahman is coming. Bismillahir Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Surah Al-Fatiha, right? So, the mushrikeen of Makkah, they would get very, very annoyed whenever Ar-Rahman would come. Because they would say, we do not recognize this name, we do not acknowledge this name, that Allah has this name. So, when it is said to them, prostrate to Ar-Rahman, what is their reaction? وَمَا الرَّحْمَانِ What is Ar-Rahman? Meaning, we're not going to. أَنَسْجُدُ Shall we prostrate? لِمَا تَأْمُرُنَا For that which you order us? Shall we do sajda? To that which you tell us to do sajda to? Meaning, should we worship just because you tell us to? Should we do ibadah just because you tell us to? No, we're not going to. وَزَادَهُمْ نُفُورًا And it increases them in aversion. Nufur is from the root letters, nun fara. It increases them in aversion. So we see that there are two types of people. One is of those people who recognize Ar-Rahman. فَاسْأَلْ بِهِ خَبِيرًا Those who recognize Ar-Rahman. And what is their attitude? What is their attitude? They're humble before Allah. In Surah Maryam, Ayah 58, we learn, إِذَا تُتْلَى عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُ الرَّحْمَانِ خَرُّوا سُجَّدًا وَبُكِيًّا When the verses of the Most Merciful are recited to them, they fall down in prostration and weeping. This is the way of who? This is the way of who? Those who recognize Ar-Rahman. Those who know Ar-Rahman. Those who love Ar-Rahman. But there is another type of people who do not recognize Ar-Rahman. Who do not have the recognition of Allah. And as a result, they have no fear of Allah. They don't have love for Allah. And when they are told to prostrate to Allah, when they are told to worship, what do they do? وَمَا الرَّحْمَانِ أَنَسْجُدُ لِمَا تَأْمُرُنَا Why should we? You'll notice that there are some people, when you tell them to pray, when you remind them it's time to pray, immediately they get up. But there are other people, you tell them, get very upset, very annoyed. Again you're telling me to pray. I told you I don't pray salah. I told you I don't like to pray. And they have a list of reasons why they don't pray. But you will notice that there are some people, no matter how much you tell them, they find salah very, very burdensome. They find it very heavy, very difficult. Why? What's the reason behind that? Think about it. They don't have recognition of Allah. They don't recognize Ar-Rahman. They don't love Him. They don't fear Him. They don't have a strong bond with Him. And because of that, no matter how much you tell them, they will find worship burdensome. Many times we see the children, they're told, we're supposed to pray, we're supposed to fast, we're supposed to do this, we're supposed to do that. But they're never given this feeling of who Allah is. They're never taught about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I remember there was this little girl. I think I first met her when she was barely 4 years old. And once her mom said something that you're pleasing shaitan, she just said that, and that girl started crying and weeping. She said, no, I'm not pleasing shaitan. So I asked her mother, that, how come she's reacting this way? She said that I've told her that if you please shaitan, then Allah will throw you in hellfire. And when He will throw you in hellfire, you will burn, and these animals will bite you, and these snakes will bite you, and You'll have to eat this kind of food in boiling hot water. So that's why she gets very terrified. 4-year-old child. How scared she is. How much she's been frightened. Now imagine as she grows up, will she have love of Allah or fear of Allah? Fear is important as well. But sometimes fear turns into rebellion as well. I don't care. Bring it on. Isn't it so? Children develop this attitude as well. Balance is very, very important. What do we see over here? Mubashiran wa nadhira. When you instill the love of Allah in the hearts of children. When you make them realize who Allah is. Children always ask, where did I come from? Isn't it? Children always ask, where did my baby brother, where did my baby sister come from? How come I'm like this and the other person is like that? How come my skin is like this and the other person's skin is different? Isn't it so? Children are always asking these questions. Curious. Children are very curious. Now, instead of telling them, oh, you should accept that people are different, and you came out of your mother's tummy, and your baby sister also came out of your mother's tummy, or we tell them we don't ask these questions. Tell them in a way that they recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah created you. And you know when you were small, you couldn't even talk. You could barely open your eyes. Allah made your eyes. See, you can look with your eyes. Look at your hands. Allah gave you these hands. When you make children realize who Allah is this way, they will have love for Allah. Naturally, they will develop the fear as well. When they realize the greatness of Allah, then what will happen? When you tell them to pray, they will pray happily. They will pray willingly. So it's not possible that a person worships Allah with his heart except with the recognition of Allah. The mushrikeen of Makkah, they did not have recognition of Allah. This is why. Whenever they were told, prostrate to Ar-Rahman, they would say, وَمَا الرَّحْمَنْ وَزَادَهُمْ نُفُورًا. It would increase them in aversion. And believe me, if a child does not have recognition of Allah in his heart, and you keep telling him, pray, 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 every time he's going to see you, he's going to run away. Isn't it so? You tell a girl, wear hijab, wear hijab, wear hijab. You're not wearing proper clothes, you're not wearing proper clothes. Every time she's going to see you, she's going to ignore you. Isn't it so? The first thing is to instill in the heart of the person the love of Allah. Make him recognize who Allah is. Because when that happens, then automatically a person will submit. تَبَارَكَ الَّذِي. Greatly blessed is the one who جَعَلَ فِي السَّمَاءِ بُرُوجًا. Who has placed in the sky great stars. Buruj is a plural of Burj. And Burj, as you know, is used for a tower, a castle. It's also used for a position, for a manzil. But Burj is also used for a huge star. Why? Because Burj is literally that which is obvious from far, that which can be noticed from a distance. Tabarruj. What is tabarruj? We learned in Surah An-Nur that when a woman, you know, gets decked up, she's adorned herself. So what happens then? She is noticeable from a distance. You can see the glitter. You can see the sparkles from a distance. Right? You can smell the fragrance from a distance. You can see the bright colors, the bright lovely patterns from a distance. So buruj is also used for huge stars. Why? Because they are noticed from a distance. So تَبَارَكَ الَّذِي. Greatly blessed is the one who جَعَلَ فِي السَّمَاءِ بُرُوجًا. Who has made in the sky بُرُوجًا, meaning huge stars. وَجَعَلَ فِيهَا. And he has placed in the sky سِرَاجًا, a lamp. A lamp. سِرَاج is from the root letter سِين رَاجِيم. And it is used for such a light that is a source of light for others. It enlightens the surroundings. So siraj is what? A source of light, a lamp. It enlightens the surroundings. And from that, it's also used for something that is very, very bright. So وَجَعَلَ فِيهَا سِرَاجًا. What does a siraj refer to? The sun. The sun is the lamp. How? That's the light. That when you have the sun, only then you will see the light of the moon, isn't it so? Only then you will see light everywhere. And when there is no sun, then there is darkness. وَجَعَلَ فِيهَا سِرَاجًا وَقَمَرًا مُنِيرًا. And a radiant moon. Where does a moon get its light from? from the sun. In Suratul Mulk, Ayah 5, we learn, وَلَقَدْ زَيَّنَّ السَّمَاءَ الدُّنْيَا بِمَصَابِيحِ, about the buruj, that Allah has certainly beautified the nearest heaven with stars. زَيَّنَّ, buruj. In Surat Nuh, Ayah 15 to 16, we learn, أَلَمْ تَرَوْ كَيْفَ خَلَقَ اللَّهُ سَبْعَ سَمَاوَاتٍ طِبَاقًا وَجَعَلَ الْقَمْرَ فِيهِنَّ نُورًا وَجَعَلَ الشَّمْسَ سِرَاجًا. That, do you not consider how Allah has created seven heavens in layers? And He has made the moon therein a reflected light and made the sun a burning lamp. So what do we see? The sun is a burning lamp and the moon, reflected light. It takes its light from the sun. In Surah Naba, Ayah 13, وَجَعَلْنَا سِرَاجًا وَهَاجًا, and we made therein a burning lamp, meaning the sun. In Surah Yunus, Ayah 5, هُوَ الَّذِي جَعَلَ الشَّمْسَ ضِيَاءً وَالْقَمْرَ نُورًا, it is He who made the sun a shining light and the moon a derived light. Why is this mentioned all of a sudden? In the previous ayah, what do we learn? That people need to have the recognition of Allah. Only then they will worship Allah. This is one way through which we can make people realize who Allah is, through which we can make them recognize their Creator. And if you look at it throughout the Makki surahs, this is a theme, that you get to know about who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. You get the ma'rifah of Allah, the recognition of Allah. So many times we have learned that إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ, in that there are ayat, signs. Signs of what? Of Allah's power, His oneness, His qudra, His ability. وَهُوَ الَّذِي, and He is the one who, جَعَلَ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارَ, who has made the night and the day. How? خِلْفَةً, in succession. خِلْفَة, from the root letters خَالَامْفَة. And خِلْفَة is that which follows something and replaces it. That which comes after the other and replaces it. So the night and the day, how have they been made? خِلْفَةً. Meaning the night comes and it's taken over by what? By the day. And the day is overcome by the night. And the night is overcome by the day. So constantly this is happening. There is this constant alternation. So جَعَلَ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارَ خِلْفَةً. How does this happen? By the movement of the celestial bodies. Or by the movement of the earth. So constantly there is night, it's followed by the day, which is followed by the night. This rotation is never ending. So خِلْفَةً. What does this show to us? What lesson is there in this for us? That the night, whenever it's supposed to come, it comes. It does not delay. Isn't it so? The day, whenever it's supposed to leave, it leaves. It does not say, no, I don't want to go. The command of Allah has come, it will go, it will come. We should also be the same. لِمَنْ أَرَادَ, for the one who wanted. Meaning, the night and the day have been made such, but who will benefit from this great sign? The one who intends أَنْ يَذَّكَّرَ, that he takes heed, أَوْ أَرَادَ شُكُورًا, or he intends to be grateful to Allah. The person who wishes to take a lesson, the person who wants to be grateful to Allah, he will find a huge lesson in this. That if the night and the day, constantly they're coming and going, I should also be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the same way. Through the constant coming and going of the night, what happens? We realize that time is limited, isn't it? The night is limited, the day is limited. I have to do something before the day ends. If you forget to do something during the day, you will make sure you do it in the night, or you make sure you do it tomorrow. So it makes you value time. يَذَّكَّرَ. It makes you realize the importance of time. Similarly, there are certain things you do during the day, and there are certain things you do during the night. Certain ibadat for the day, certain ibadat for the night. يَذَّكَّرَ. أَوْ أَرَادَ شُكُورًا. Or a person who wishes to be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he will find an opportunity to be grateful even with the alternation of the night and the day. Then alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, the long day is coming to an end and now I will get to sleep. And alhamdulillah, the morning is coming now. I have a long day in front of me in which inshallah I will do this and this and this. Shukr. Gratitude. You see, a person who wants to be grateful, he will find things to be grateful for. Isn't it so? You will notice that people who are very grateful, they will thank you for waiting for 2 minutes even. They will thank you for holding their bag for a second even. It might not be a big deal for you, but because you're very grateful, they'll be grateful for the little things even. So the one who wants to be grateful to Allah, he will be grateful for the night and the day even, for the alternation of the night and the day even. Because it's a huge blessing of Allah. In Surah Al-Qasas, Ayah 73, we learn, وَمِنْ رَحْمَتِهِ جَعَلَ لَكُمُ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارَ لِتَسْكُنُوا فِيهِ وَلِتَبْتَغُوا مِنْ فَضْلِهِ وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. That it's of the mercy of Allah that He has made for you the night and He has made for you the day. The day is so that you can work and the night is so that you can rest. So it's of His mercy. And when a person realizes this huge favor of Allah, automatically feelings of gratitude will come about. And when those feelings will come about, then automatically a person will want to do sajda. He will want to worship Allah. So you see, gratitude and ibadah, they're linked together. Gratitude and sajda, they're linked together. Before gratitude comes what? Recognition of Allah. When you have recognition of Allah, you're filled with feelings of gratitude. And automatically that transforms into ibadah. For example, in Surah An-Nahl, we learned about so many blessings of Allah. Isn't it so? And when you learn about them, you become so grateful. When you become grateful, it adds khushur to your salah. It adds meaning to your prayers. It adds meaning to your dhikr. And when you look at these things and when you don't give much importance to them, you don't have the recognition of Allah through them, you will not experience the joy in ibadah. All of this is connected. Can we listen to the recitation?
وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى الْحَيِّ الَّذِي لَا يَمُوتُ وَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِهِ وَكَفَى بِهِ بِذُنُوبِ عِبَادِهِ خَبِيرًا الَّذِي خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا فِي سِتَّةِ أَيَّامٍ ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى عَلَى الْعَرْشِ الرَّحْمَنُ فَاسْأَلْ بِهِ خَبِيرًا وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمُ اسْجُدُوا لِلرَّحْمَنِ قَالُوا وَمَا الرَّحْمَنُ قالوا وما الرحمن أنسجد لما تأمرنا وزادهم نفورا تبارك الذي جعل في السماء بروجا وجعل فيها سراجا وقمرا منيرا وهو الذي جعل الليل والنهار خلفة لمن أراد أن يذكر أو أراد شكورا.
سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.